Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we are here as family in your presence. Father, we hope you're pleased with our worship and all that's taken place thus far. Father, we are going to be looking to your word, and it will be a little bit different this morning. But still, Father, we ask you to bless your word to us, that you'll challenge us, transform us, Father. Give us ears to hear. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title for this morning, this is third time now. Are we recording? Good man. One step at a time. One step at a time. At the AGM meeting on Monday, we heard many testimonies of how God is at work in this church through the different activities and those who are involved with them. I don't know about you, but I found it extremely encouraging and uplifting. There was a wonderful atmosphere here throughout that evening, and for me, it was good. For those who are here, I spoke briefly about the church moving forward. Mentioned that the key word is simply community. Now, I look at our area, our community, our area, our field of work, our place of harvest, if you like, to serve as being Stratford Village. This is where God has placed us. And if I said this morning, we're going to win Stratford Village for Jesus. Amen. Good. But for some, that could sound very daunting. It's quite a big village. There's a lot of people here in Stratford to win for Christ. So how do we go about it? Well, the answer's in the title. One step at a time. Now, God is good because how he brings things together in our lives and as a church and individually, he has some wonderful ways of doing that. And I'm going to share something this morning which would be a bit different to how I'd usually speak, because I want to speak to you about a devotional that I did from last Monday through this week. I don't believe it was coincidence that I was to go through this devotional each day. I believe it was God's way of getting a message through. You see, I'm trying to study the word and read the word through in a year, as I used to do quite often. But before that, I would always spend my mornings with the dog prayerfully and in a devotional of some sort. So I would probably do two or three devotionals each day as in the morning. But when I decided, you know what, I just really need to be in God's word, I kind of had to put something aside. So I put the devotionals aside. But when I looked on last Monday, I have it all on my phone, all my Bibles and everything. And I went into the program, the app thing, and clicked on my normal button to read through my normal chapters. And sometimes it comes up with a thing relevant for you. And that will give you different ideas maybe to read this and read that. And this particular morning, that came up with a little thing saying, relevant for you. And this was the title that it had on it. And it said, The Jesus Way to Change the World. And I thought, oh, that might be interesting. I'll have to try and fit it in somewhere. So I did my normal scripture reading. And then I opened this devotional. And it kind of... when you hear what it's saying through the message this morning, you'll see just what happened Monday was actually very, very special. So moving forward one step at a time in whatever form that takes. So the first thought for this four this morning, the first thought today is your decision making. Your decision making. In this devotional on the first day that I read, it was talking about a couple who were reporting on God's work in their lives in their church. And the couple in this church, well, what they were doing was helping those who had marriages that were in crisis. And over a period of 15 years, have helped more than 1,000 couples. And they talk about the power of little decisions, each decision having the power to erode or the power to build. They speak about how they have seen God rebuild tattered and broken marriages. How? One selfless and intentional decision at a time. Many times they said there was a decision to confess, there was a decision to repent, there was a decision to forgive, and the decision to move forward. But it's not just in our marriages that we make decisions. We make decisions every day in our own lives. And our decisions will impact and include those people around us. I'm going to share with you, if you've got your Bibles, turn to John 1. John chapter 1, verse 35. Listen to what this says. John chapter 1, verse 35. The next day, John was standing there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus walking by, "There is the Lamb of God," he said. The two disciples heard him say this and went with Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and asked, "What are you looking for?" They answered, "Where do you live, Rabbi?" The word means teacher. "Come and see," he answered. It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of the day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. At once he found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." This word means Christ. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "Your name is Simon, son of John. But you'll be called Cephas." This is the name of Peter that means rock. In that passage of scripture, we read of two disciples making a simple decision to follow Jesus. They also decided that they would listen to what he had to say. But as soon as Andrew chose to follow Jesus, he made another decision, and that was to bring Peter into that opportunity too. That decision rippled to make more and more decisions. Ultimately, that led to the establishment of the church through God's work in Peter. You see, each decision, however small it may be, can have a huge impact, an enormous impact on those around. Each decision was small, but an impact was enormous. How do we move forward as a church together into our community and further on? One decision at a time. The second thought this morning looks at another couple within this American church, I believe. They talk about dollars and all sorts, but another couple within this church who started a business, and it soon became a very good business, doing very well financially. But this couple soon realized that God was giving them a tremendous opportunity to impact their team and their community and far beyond for his glory. What I love about this account is that when it was doing well and financially was doing really, really well, the first thing they were thinking was, this is a wonderful God opportunity. Now, instead of buying bigger houses for themselves, cars and more stuff, their business gives away 50% of its profits. Each amount given by this company is a doorway, they believe, into someone's life. As they spend time with those people who they help in need, there is prayer offered and prayer is given, and lives have been changed. Let's look at Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. Verse 1 to 4, just a small one. Luke 21, verse 1 to 4. Jesus looked round and saw rich people dropping their gifts in the temple treasury. And he also saw a very poor widow dropping in two little copper coins. He said, "I tell you that this poor widow put in more than all the others. For the others offered their gifts from what they had to spare of their riches. But she, poor as she is, gave all she had to live on." Now, this couple who were reporting back have found the joy that comes from this kind of giving Jesus spoke about when he observed the widow giving her last coins. This couple don't give out of obligation or for attention on themselves. They give because God's loved them so faithfully. They can't wait to see how his kingdom will grow. For them, it's $1 at a time. But you know, it's not just about financial giving. It's also about investing time in people. How do we move forward and meet the needs of our community as a church here? We meet it by meeting each one person at a time. The wonderful thing about this is we had that meeting on Monday, and it was a testimonial, really, of what God's doing through different activities, different people speaking about what God is doing. And as I read through this devotion, I just thought how wonderful God is, that he was showing, again, more examples and how more we could possibly do for him in this way. So the third thought, this time it was through a group of youngsters, and I want you to be blessed by this morning, Becky and Jay. It was they were young men probably in their teens who report back. This was a video clip, this one. It's quite moving. I can't wait till we get the projectors, you know. Let's just line up a bit, because I could probably play it then and you could just watch, couldn't you? Actually, rather than me trying to put into words what it... These two young men, they reported how through their youth groups, the way their youth leaders invested the time with them... So sorry, this happens all the time. Never underestimate your ministry with the youth. It was the way that these youth leaders invested their time with these youngsters, the conversations they had with them, that impacted their lives in such a way that for them it just seemed natural to want to live out their lives in a similar way. Just the way that you live your life, the conversations you have with the youth. And these youngsters, these young teenage men now, they now reach out to their families, their friends, inviting them in their lives in the same way that they have been invested in the past by their leaders, through the example, through the time invested in them. They wanted to do likewise as a natural thing. They ask God that he'll be in their conversations, that they will speak truth and pray and listen as God gives them the opportunity. Graham, can you read for me, please? Let's look at John chapter 4, verse 1 to 30. John chapter 4.
I'm reading from the New King James Translation, as we said, chapter 4, verses 1 to 30. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his son and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. Thank you.
That scripture is a favourite of mine, I must confess. We see here that Jesus is very intentional with his conversation. When Jesus met the woman at the well, she was alone, full of shame, but through just one conversation, Jesus offered her hope, love, and restoration. Each conversation Jesus had was an invitation to know God better. How do we move forward as a church to the community? One conversation at a time. And our final thought this morning was another couple in this church who each Sunday evening had 19 children pile, or they've said kids, they're probably a bit older, 19 youngsters pile into their lower part of their house like a basement with hot dogs and things like that. while the parents gathered in another part of the house to have whatever was left over. While they ate together, barriers came down, they laughed, they listened, and they grew. Each week, a simple meal transitions into a time to really explore the scriptures together, they said, to challenge and encourage one another, and together walk towards God's grace and purpose in their lives. She also said the group began as a collection of individual families with a common goal. Now they are deeply invested in one another's lives. They stand together as they pursue Christ and serve him faithfully. The couple go on to say, yes, there is mess, chaos, and frustration and vulnerability around the table. But there's also encouragement, accountability, joy, and endless grace as they discover who God is and what it looks like to follow him. And our final scripture I'd like to share is again in Luke chapter 19, the first 10 verses. It says this, Luke chapter 19. Jesus went into Jericho and was passing through. There was a chief tax collector there named Zacchaeus who was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was a little man and could not see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, who was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay in your house today." Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him with great joy. All the people saw it, started grumbling. This man was going to be a guest of a home of a sinner. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Listen, sir, I'll give half my belongings to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house today, for this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Here we see Jesus connecting with Zacchaeus over a meal, sharing food to break down barriers and have an honest conversation about real life with him. I personally think there's something lovely and wonderful in sharing a meal with others. I think those social times that we have here as a church together, where we can invite friends and family to be a part of us, are so important. How do we move forward in this community as a church? Well, perhaps it will be one meal at a time. Now, this morning is a little bit different to how I'd usually speak. Now, I know I based this all around a devotional, very similar, but when I see the comparisons of how our week started out on the Monday, about praising God, really, of what he's doing in this place, and starting to place our focus on community and where our building blocks are already in place, to read something like that throughout last week just reinforces our vision for this community. The Jesus Way to Change the World was the title. I truly believe God is encouraging us all this morning as we look to move forward as a church. But sometimes we want to run before we can walk. We talked about the website and we wanted to live stream and things like that. And we joked and said, man, we need to learn to walk before we run. But we will run soon enough. But right now, we need to move forward just that one step at a time. Did you get an understanding of what we're talking about this morning? Yeah? Thank you, Steve. For the rest who didn't, can you chat with them after? Let's pray. Jehovah God, we love you so much. We thank you, Father, for all you've done in this place over so many years. I personally thank you for Monday. I felt it was a real starting point, Lord Jesus, to move forward, maybe slightly different to what we have in the past. Lord Jesus, I would ask that you encourage us through your word. Continue to do that. Continue to keep us together, Father, in those little decisions, those little steps, and whatever way we do it, Father, as each step, day by day, Father, you would encourage us, you would add to our number, you would bless people, we'd reach this community for you. Father, we trust you, and we know you can do this, and we are here open to receive that, to be a part of that, to be used by you. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Good timing, Phil.